Hello and welcome to ICF Germany's podcast. My name is Anna Schweppenhäuser. Today I'm going to speak with Christina Mühl. She's a PCC at ICF, a senior practitioner with EMCC and Country Director Solutions Academy Romania, team coach and board member of ICF Germany, and recent member ambassador of the ICF Global Community of Practice Team Coaching. Welcome to our podcast, dear Christina.
Thank you very much, Anna. I'm really happy to be here because I think that the team coaching and the team coaching accreditation of ICF has been like a latest, I don't want to say buzz because I don't think it's something that's going to fade away, but I think it is one of the developments in our profession. So I'm really excited that we have a chance to talk about it.
That's so wonderful. And perhaps we're going a little bit back. So how did you become a coach and how did you become a team coach?
How do I become a coach? I would say it was a movement from words, so towards words from a lot of numbers. So always go back and looking at it, I smile because I've started with a math university. So it's been a leap from that position to a coach, but mostly was driven by my own need to grow and to develop. And especially it was driven by the need when I was working with teams. Had a global position and that required me to change the team that I was working with pretty much constantly. So that was the moment when you realize, well, I need something more than just numbers. Excels are funny, but they're not going to help you build up the connections and support the team development. And that's not it. From there emerges also the part of team. And so that's how the component of coaching came into my not just the professional life, and now it's been spilling also in my personal life, using that coaching mindset in the way I interact with people in general. So to your question, becoming a coach happened due to necessity, and after that due to increased pleasure by doing that. And team coaching emerged because of having this component of leading teams in the past and working with teams and realizing that I draw a lot of energy for myself from that space. Hence, it felt natural to continue to do that and grow. And I think that's also one of the components of why for me the community of practice was such of an important area to go and support the development of the profession.
So you are a fresh young ambassador of the ICF Global Community of Practice Team Coaching. And how did this come about? So to be there or to become this?
Well, I think it's down to one element that I keep on doing, and that is my not motto, but my strong belief is, if you want to have something and if you want to have an impact in something, a lot of times is go pull up your sleeves and go do work on it. So one of the areas that for me I always found it as interesting and of an importance was this part of group and team coaching, because the community of practice you've seen incorporates both aspects, group and team coaching. So back in beginning of 2022, when there was again a question from ICF Global around who wants to volunteer for a community of practice, I've said definitely the area that I would like to volunteer for would be the community of practice for group and team coaching. And from there, it came about the moment when they've had the opportunity inside. I got asked, and I had a couple of interviews with ICF, a couple of interviews also with the other leads on the same community of practice. And from there, it emerged into being present in this. And I have to admit that it was an extraordinary thing end of last year, because the question came, or the decision came end of December, like, okay, so redo our plans for 2023 might be a need for that. If I say yes to it, and if I continue to engage in the community of practice, there needs to be space being created also for contributing and creating a meaningful impact. So if there's anyone out there that says, well, that would be an interest for me, I would love to contribute to one of these community of practice, do volunteer. There's plenty of them. So it's not only group and team coaching, but you have on supervision, which I think it's going to be one of the cornerstones of the professional development. There's ethics, there's career coaching, leadership, and so on. So there's plenty of spaces where you can engage and bring your values.
And how does the role look like of being an ambassador contributing to a community of practice with ICF?
I think as in everything that we do, we put on that coaching approach and curiosity. And I think that's the area also that you will see from the community of practice for group and team coaching. Because the curiosity around what is group coaching, what is team coaching, how do we do and what do we do, what are those not necessarily tools, but approaches that we can use by going through a team coaching process. Those are the areas that we want to invest in, look into, explore more of into this year. And one event that we're going to have on the 23rd of February is exactly around the neuroscience of resilient teams, which has been a subject that the members of the community of practice selected. So I think that's one component of this role and more of it, like the entire leadership team of the community of practice to look in what are the subjects, what are the topics, what are the areas that the community feels of use, of need, of importance, of what's happening, what's developing out there that would be a topic we should contribute towards. So that's one element, identifying those needs and growing to support. And I think the other role is towards the component also of bringing that awareness around group and team coaching, but more now, I think it's also around raising that and creating that awareness around the new ICF team coaching accreditation, the advanced certification in team coaching, ACTC. And that has been one of the events that we have done in January. Carrie Abner was present. She shared from her perspective around how have we got to this credential at this moment? So through all of the focus groups, research group, all the way to certification is open. Let's take a look at what are the requirements. And I think the other important element that we had also in that conversation, and I think that's the element that should stay present throughout the entire community of practice, is engaging in answering questions and making sure that everyone has a clear understanding of what it takes to get to ACTC. Because there's a lot of questions around need supervision. What is that about? How do I get, where do I find the supervisor? What do I do? What does the supervisor needs to show me or to them? Because it's a new development compared to the things that we all as ICF coaches know. And that is that component of mentor coaching. Now we'll need to also understand what and how supervision works. So I think that's also part of this ambassador role of looking and making sure that we bring forward the awareness on what are the criteria and what is the credential all about and so on. And definitely bring speakers that are happy to engage and more than that, to provide from their knowledge forward to everyone that's in the community.
So thank you. And probably there are some of our listeners that have never heard about the communities of practice with ICF. So where can they find some important information? How can they register? Do you know more about that?
Oh, gladly, gladly. I think one thing that we've done in the meet in the event in January was to celebrate the fact that there are more than 1,000 members of the ICF community of practice on group and team coaching on the LinkedIn group. So I think I would see it as a beautiful challenge to everyone out there to say, can we raise that? Can we go to 5,000 members that are interested in group and team coaching? Because I think at that moment, you actually have such a strong base to engage and to, for me, I think it's to extract from that global knowledge. So if you go on LinkedIn, you'll find a community of practice. It's a group. Click join and we'll let you in. Plus in there, you'll find also other resources. The other area where you can go is on the ICF website, obviously, and then you'll have a description of all of the communities of practice. There's also a form if you decide to volunteer. More than happy to have, I think all of the communities of practice are more than happy to have all of the support that they can get. And the other thing that I would say is go on your, if you are a member, go on your learning portal on the ICF profile, go on your learning portal. And in there, next to your learning activities, you'll find also a button that says communities of practice. And inside are all of them. One thing that it's part of your benefits as an ICF member are some of those webcasts, some of our webinars, events that are related to different communities of practice, including group and team coaching, and they're for free as a member. So once you are a member, you don't have to pay that. I think it's an average $45 for one of these events. Now you get them for free, and there's a lot of knowledge in there. And obviously, if you have any questions, I say it always, and it's not just a word, just a phrase. For me, it's really, I'm more than happy if anyone says, well, I want to understand more. Can you help me here a bit? Reach out. We can have coffee together. We talk about it. And if there's any other links or other information that you need, we'll find. So ICF, your learning portal, or LinkedIn, join us. And there's plenty of things that we can discover around group and team coaching.
And is there something you might have a kind of a forecast? What are the next events? You mentioned the next event about the neuroscience of team coaching or in team coaching. Do we have other topics that you might raise throughout the next year?
That's the beauty of it. And I think that was also the element that attracted me to this community of practice. That is this component of we will create it together. So communities of practice in general, they have 4 events per year. So besides the, like we had now in January, that was a special one-off event. It was not part of those 4 standards. Those 4 throughout the year are on really knowledge-based. So the next one will be in February, and then we have 3 more throughout the year that we are more than happy to create them with the input or with the ideas and suggestions from the members. So if you're looking at team coaching, I'm, for example, I have as a basis for team coaching the solution-focused approach. But I think there's so many approaches out there and so many things that are useful for the team coaches, then pick one of those and say, I would be curious to learn more about this. Put it in the LinkedIn group. We'll pick it up and we'll consolidate, and then we can create what's of use of for everyone in those other events that we'll have throughout the year.
That sounds great. So you're inviting the community, the broader community, to shape the content of the community of practice and be in constant discussion.
And I think that's one of the elements that we've noticed also, definitely me, I've noticed in the webinar that we've done now in January with Carrie Abner. And by the way, that's a free one that you can find on your ICF learning portal. You'll find it in there. And for me, I would say, go take a look at it. Even if you have a team coaching accreditation from EMCC, for example, I have one. And for me, it was interesting also to see what has been the path that ICF took to get to the team coaching core competencies, to see what was the path that ICF engaged in to identify what would be of use for a team coach and what is the standpoint, posture, and all of those things. And more than that, to understand a bit about how is this entire table between the team development modalities and where team coaching sits. So for me, that webinar is not about how do I get my certificate. It's about this is the path behind it. And I think those are very extremely, extremely useful information. Maybe also useful in the light of if you do get engaged with your certification, you will have to do a knowledge exam. So might be useful to take a look at that video. And coming back to your question of inviting everyone to consolidate, I think that was the element that we have seen in that conversation also, because just to pick up questions and say, so let's talk about it. Let's all figure out what does those elements mean for our development as a coach, our way of how do we engage and how we grow. I think that's also the reason why I would love to see the community extracting from their own needs and shaping with those needs the future events, instead of us just looking at the market and saying, this sounds good. But no, I think what's of use of the members, that's the best way how we can spend our time.
Sounds great. And is there a time frame how long you are going to be the ambassador? Is it a commitment for 1 year or 7 years?
Well, I think it's down to, again, being it a bit more shaped. I think so for 1 year, definitely, but there's a couple of positions that are on 3 years. So you can have a longer impact, but more than that, you create a sustainable approach towards the community of practice. Same thing I would say for all of the other communities of practice, you know, as a lead, you have to look into 3 years, or also I think it's similar to also what you get in a board of any of the chapters. You have to look into if you want to be a, especially as a position of the president, you see 3 years because you rotate through all of the stages. For me, I definitely more than happy to stay longer than 1 year because I see it there. There's a lot of things that we can bring to the practitioners and support. Plus, I would really love to see these conversations merging around the team coaching standards, the team coaching competencies, the what it takes and what you need. And I think it would be providing a lot of value if we have a space to create conversations around case studies. This is one thing that I've noticed also from other professionals. You know, they go like, yeah, I'm doing team coaching, but can you give me an example of how this process would look like? You know, how do you do it? What do you do at this stage? Because I think as coaching, as individual coaching, we're learning plenty from examples and case studies. So that's guys, one thing that I take on my list for this year, my role, to see how I can bring these components of exchanging on different models and approaches and also exchanging on different case studies.
That sounds wonderful. And I'm very curious how this year is going to get along with all these wonderful ideas you bring in and the others bring in as well.
Well, I can only open it up as a invitation to everyone and say, come join us. Let's see what we can do together. Let's see how far we can get in 1 year, and then let's see how far we can get in 2 and in 3 years and so on. And do come with an open approach to maybe rolling into a role like this one, because everyone can contribute. And more than that, I think an ICF volunteer and a volunteer position brings you even more than you can consider from the outside. I've seen this also volunteering now for 3 years with ICF Germany. So
and
definitely encourage everyone to do it.
So this was an encouraging appeal to join and join with some contribution, and let's shape the field together.
Definitely, yeah.
And is there something else you'd like to give our fellow coaches in Germany and the others who are going to listen this on their way to potentially a team coach?
To by moving from individual coaching to team coaching, I think that is a beautiful point that you're raising there, or the beautiful area to explore that you're raising there. My impression has been always that it's something that you need to define for yourself if team coaching or group coaching is really fits with who you are as a coach. I think it's natural to have conversations, and it's natural to engage with people, and at the same time there might be, and I know for sure there are coaches out there that for them it's draining to just be in front of a group. So I think that's also part of acknowledging and understanding of saying that's fine, that's don't have to expand in that direction. There's plenty of other directions where you can expand. So I think the first step in there should be really starting with small experiments, figuring out if this is something for you. And if this is something for you, start by engaging also in the community of practice with other team coaches. Ask questions, pick everyone's mind, so to say, what is it and how is it for you? And after that, I would definitely encourage everyone to look into getting into a course. And I'm not saying that because of, wow, definitely need a course. I think it's a great opportunity to look at those team development modalities, understand where team coaching sits, and more than that, look very thoroughly through the competences. Look through the competencies with an open, again, coming back with an open mindset, because it's not only the ICF ones, but there are the other two other associations that they have. And if you're coming also from an agile background, or you have a bit of an agile background, there's a lot of things that will come to life and fit into place. So as a second step, I would definitely see this engage somehow with a knowledge-based approach. And just go try it. Do some small experiments with a team. Maybe you have a way of volunteering also with the ICF, because I know that there's pro bono activities that ICF does. If I'm remembering correctly now, as ICF Germany, we do have also sometimes requests for pro bono on team coaching.
Yes,
now I'm looking at you, Anna, knowing pro bono, it has been always your field, close to your heart.
Yeah.
And so that's also a space where you can say, I would give it a try, maybe shadowing, or maybe do a team of team coaches. Because you'll notice this is part also of the competencies and part of the, in a way, suggested approach. Sometimes it's better to engage with creating a team coaching process by having two team coaches on board. They shape and they model also what you're transmitting to the team. Plus, for you, it's a great learning experience to do the contracting with the other team coach. How do you go through that? Because we always look at, I'm going to have to do contracting with the team. But we forget about the internal contracting. And sometimes I find it even more important than the contracting with the clients, because if I don't get along with the other team coach, it's going to be a difficult process for both of us.
Yes.
So
that's the client.
So coming back to this move from individual team coaching to team coach, individual coaching to team coaching, I would say take it gradually, take it with experiments, take it by, first of all, ask around, figure out how do you position yourself towards it. Second of it, take a look at what's out there as courses, trainings, groups, and what do you find spaces where you can give it a try, do a small experiment along with somebody else. So it gives you probably even more confidence. And once you're ready, do take a look also at getting your ACTC accreditation, so the Advanced Certificate in Team Coaching.
Thank you so much. And I'd like to invite all the fellow coaches to join the Team Coaching community of practice and to reflect on their own experience as team coaches or on their way to team coaching. And thank you, Christina, for your brilliant work you bring in this collaborative and co-creative stance you're taking in. And thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to listen what is dear to your heart around team coaching.
Thank you very much, Anna. Thank you very much for this opportunity to have this conversation and to say, yep, if we want to shape the profession, I think it's not only down to the coaching association, it's down to each of us as practitioners to take upon that desire to create a profession. And one part of that profession is definitely group and team coaching. So do join us. Let's do something together.
Thank you.